This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Perloff's not here, so let's have a real honest conversation about the Eagles. What's up? It's EJ Stewart here on the Maggie and Perloff Show, filling in for Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff. The Philadelphia Eagles celebrated their second world championship, and I will say world championship, even though I may upset Noel Isles, I don't care. The second world championship, their second Super Bowl trophy after beating the Kansas City Chiefs last week in the Super Bowl. And it was pretty much everything you would expect from a Philadelphia celebration. There were fights being had, including fights from fans that had babies in their hands. A lot of alcohol, a lot of debauchery, and plenty of four-syllable F-bombs, or four-word F-bombs, rather. And in some ways, I'm someone who maybe isn't quite as offended by what Philadelphia represents. I have family who lives in Philadelphia, lives in the area. I've stayed in Philadelphia myself during college years. I lived in Pennsylvania. So I have a deep appreciation and love of Philadelphia, even though I know it can be an acquired taste for a lot of the rest of the country. But I thought there was one aspect of this that was quite interesting. And it came from their leader and their star and their Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts.
You can't lose if you don't quit. And in Philly, we don't quit. So thank you. The next pursuit begins. Go Birds.
So there you have it, Jalen Hurts at the Super Bowl celebration. One of the few cuts I can probably play you, because the amount of F-bombs and S-bombs and every other curse word you could think about that happened over the course of this celebration from the players, from the fans, it was definitely a not safe for work event, even though there were local news broadcasts that were trying to show the parade that every 2 seconds had to keep muting the guys, pulling up an anchor, that getting on the mic just to say, I'm sorry for that curse. Let's go back to the Eagles parade. But that part I could play for you. I could play clean without any edits at all. That was Jalen Hurts saying that the Eagles did not quit. Philadelphia is a city that is not of quitters. And, of course, at the end there, the next pursuit begins. And that's him alluding to the Eagles' chance at a back-to-back. We had all this talk about three-peat for the Chiefs and what that would mean. But I think when you watch the Eagles and how they played this season, I think when you watch how they dominated the Kansas City Chiefs, the star power on both sides of the ball, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, the best offensive line in the NFL, defensive stars, Zach Bond, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, who picked off Patrick Mahomes, ran it back for a touchdown. Stars all over the place. Of course, Jalen Carter. And you think, maybe this is a team that can go back-to-back. To quote Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends. Let's pump the brakes and hold the horses on calling the Eagles the next dynasty. 855-212 for 227. Again, I feel like I'm someone with a healthy respect for the Philadelphia Eagles. Before the season, I felt like Saquon Barkley would have a big season. I said that he would have a Christian McCaffrey-like effect on the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's pretty much what he did tenfold. I mean, he ramped 2,000 yards. He was arguably the best offensive player in the NFL. What I did not anticipate was their defense returning to form in such a way and becoming such a dominant unit. But there's always this rush as soon as a champion is crowned, and we've watched a team go through an NFL postseason. And it's almost like we have amnesia about how they got there, that the fact that the rest of the league exists, that there will be a new season with new storylines, new stars, new moves that will change the landscape of the NFL, things that will happen in the next few months that will happen over the course of the NFL draft, that changes the entire picture. In some ways, I think part of it is because we saw the Kansas City Chiefs dominate for so many years, where it felt like they were just inevitable to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. So I get it to a certain degree. But we can't let that recency bias cloud us from what is the overall landscape of the NFL, which is that I think we are moving away from an era of pure Chiefs dominance, but it does not mean we're moving into the era of the Eagles. I think we're moving to an era back where we have hyper parity. Because when I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, I see a very good team. I see a star-studded team. I see a team that every year should be in a position to compete for championships. But do I see the 93 Cowboys? Do I see the Chiefs of what I've seen for the last 4 or 5 years? Do I see the Bill Belichick Patriots when I watch this team? That seems like a stretch too far. I think there are a couple reasons why I'm not willing to go there with the Eagles and saying that back-to-back is happening next year. Again, 855-212-4227 is the number to call. Number one, I don't have amnesia. I know the rest of the NFL world may have some amnesia because we just watched the Eagles and we've been celebrating them for a week. But I remember what happened during the NFL season. And while the Eagles were an awesome team throughout the year, they were not the best team in their conference. They were not the most talented team in their conference. The best team in the NFC, and I believe the best team still in the NFL, is the Detroit Lions, who unfortunately, because of injuries that decimated their entire defense, they had literally had, I think, 14 or 15 players injured for the playoffs on their defensive side alone.
Now, EJ, Philadelphia might say you're making excuses for that team in Detroit.
It's not necessarily, I'm not making excuses in terms of why Philadelphia won a title. I'm suggesting, I'm looking at next year and saying, what happens next year? Am I supposed to expect that the team that I believe, and I think everyone would agree with in terms of just what we saw during the regular season, was the best team and the most talented team in the NFL, Detroit Lions, that I'm expecting they're going to take a step back when Aiden Hutchinson's coming back, when all their secondary's coming back, when Aleem McNeil is coming back? A lot of those young guys that are continuing to get experience playing in big games, playing in playoff games, playing with anticipation, with pressure, playing with expectations. Those guys, a year removed once again from that experience, I expect those guys are going to take a step back and take a back seat to the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think so.
Would you say that the Eagles were fortunate to not run into a healthy Detroit team this past season?
I would say, I think the Eagles could have beaten the Detroit Lions this year because I think that Jared Goff, as we learned, still has some growth within himself. I know he's a guy who's now kind of in the prime of his career. He's a guy who is, you know, not a rookie, not a guy who's an up-and-coming player. He's been in NFL for a while. But it's funny. I always go back to this quote. I think it's one of my favorite quotes when it comes to just sports and championship play and playing at a championship level. And I remember Isaiah Thomas, and it was actually a Steve Kerr story, Steve Kerr recounting Isaiah Thomas talking about playing the Detroit Pistons versus the Chicago Bulls, playing those matchups in the late 80s, early 90s. And the Bulls, you know, kept losing to the Pistons every year, year after year after year. And Isaiah said something that stuck with the Bulls and Steve Kerr, and that he said the Bulls physically had all the tools to be champions. Physically, they were at our level or even superior when it came to playing at a championship level. But the mental aspect is where they were lacking. There was mental maturity. There was mental growth that had to happen in terms of what it meant to play on a championship level that they had not reached. And it just took experience for them to reach that. Once they reached that point, that's when they finally dispatched the Pistons. And to me, I know I'm using Detroit Pistons, not going to the Detroit Lions. And here I think the Detroit Lions are the Chicago Bulls. I think they're a team that may take a few years, and we've seen now 2 years in a row where they make the playoffs, but they don't get to the Super Bowl, where I think it may have taken them some years as an organization that has been nowhere near Super Bowl contention for almost their entirety as an organization. We talk about Super Bowl era. The Lions never really have ever been a Super Bowl contender. It takes time to learn what it takes to compete at that level, not just from a physical standpoint, but from a mental standpoint. The Philadelphia Eagles, say what you want about them. I think that we saw some of those key players that were on that Super Bowl team that lost to to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs 2 years ago. They've said a bunch that they use that experience and that motivation to push them to get over the hump this time around. Sometimes you got to go through some adversity. Sometimes you have to go through some pitfalls. It's not going to be, growth is not a linear thing where you just lose one time and you just win and then you're just back on the rocket ship. Sometimes there are peaks and valleys. And the Lions right now are experiencing that. So when I look at the Philadelphia Eagles and I look at where they stand in this landscape, the Detroit Lions, I think, are still better. I think they have a more complete offense. I think their offensive line is just as good. I think their defense, when healthy, has the best player among both defenses. I take Aiden Hutchinson over any player on the Philadelphia Eagles. That's including Jalen Carter. So I see the Philadelphia Eagles, and I look at Detroit, and I say, that's a major problem for you. You think that you're going to just waltz right back to the Super Bowl? Because I can see why you think you're going to waltz back. I mean, you punched the Green Bay Packers. You beat up an old Matt Stafford in the snow, and you beat a rookie in Jaden Daniels. I could see Jalen Hurts or Eagles fans looking at that landscape and saying, oh, man, this is food in the NFC. We can get right back easily. I don't have amnesia. I watched the first 14, 15 weeks of NFL season when the Detroit Lions looked like the 16-0 Patriots. They were putting up offensive numbers and putting up point differentials that rivaled the New England Patriots. They were beating teams by 30 points, 40 points. They were dominant. Injuries are part of the sport, and it's not to say that they won't get injured again. But it is not a surprise to me, and it was not shocking to me that Amon St. Brown looked at that schedule on his podcast last week and said, ooh, we played the Eagles this year. I think that's a game the NFL would want to see, because what does this team look like when they see us healthy? Because it's just different. It's just facts. I know I poked fun at my guy Andrew Perloff start this segment, but he talks about it all the time, and it is true. The injuries do play a part in any NFL season or NBA season or NHL or MLB. All sports seasons, injuries play a factor. It's not an excuse. It's just a part of the game. But to me, what we saw from the Detroit Lions and the injury situation that they had, it was abnormal. You don't see a team often lose almost their whole starting lineup defensively. That's not a normal thing. I think if the Lions get normal defensive injuries or normal injury health, rather, or an injury luck, I think you see a different team next year. And then there are these other teams that are on the rise for the Philadelphia Eagles. I would like to see what happens in year two for Jaden Daniels. I'd like to see what happens with a healthy Jordan Love for an entire season. No one wants to believe the Minnesota Vikings, but what if the Vikings make a change at quarterback, and what if it is Aaron Rodgers and I end up being wrong, Aaron Rodgers turns back the clock and has a Brett Favre-type season? I don't see the NFC as this waltz to the Super Bowl the way perhaps maybe Eagles fans and the way the Eagles are looking at the NFL landscape right now. I think the era of dynasties and the era of seeing the same teams every year in the Super Bowl, I think that's going to end. I think there's a lot of talent all across the board in the NFL, and that's only the NFC picture. Because in the AFC, we still have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and we'll talk about what their situation is and how likely they are to get back to multiple Super Bowls in a little bit later in the show. But there are a lot of hungry dogs that are just dying to get to that stage, that are very much due to get to that stage. I'm supposed to think that Lamar Jackson is just going to take these playoff L's year in and year out sitting down. I'm supposed to think that Josh Allen, the MVP of the NFL, is going to take these playoff losses sitting down there, that none of these guys are eventually going to crack through. They had their way with the Chiefs, a team that had issues. I think a team that, despite their gaudy record, clearly probably were somewhat paper tigers considering the issues on the offensive line, the lack of skill players, This was not the same Chiefs team that we saw years ago when Pat Mahomes was throwing for 5,000 yards, throwing for 50 touchdowns, winning MVPs. This was a different era of Kansas City Chiefs, a Chiefs era that was more about defense and ball control. And quite frankly, you're not going to out-defense and out-ball control these Chiefs. But good luck trying to do that against Lamar Jackson. Good luck trying to do that against Josh Allen. Good luck trying to do that against the high-powered Detroit Lions. I think that the NFL is completely wide open. So I think the Philadelphia Eagles, while they're a really good team, at the end of the day, can I look at the picture as a broad picture and say that they're by far the prohibitive favorites to win the Super Bowl next season? I'm not going there. You got a lot of big decisions coming up when it comes to free agency. We talk about how great that defense is. All right, what are you going to do about Zach Bond? He's a free agent. What are you going to do about Josh Sweat, a guy who could have won Super Bowl MVP, who was in Patrick Mahomes' grill all night last week? What are you going to do about him? How do you replace him? Are you going to replace Milton Williams, a guy that Maggie now loves because Fox kept ignoring them, even though he kept making plays throughout the entire Super Bowl? Now he's a free agent. You got guys that are about to come up that could be out of there soon. Very key players to the number one overall defense. Do the Eagles have guys just sitting on the bench that will come in and be able to replace those guys? Or are they going to be able to continue to manipulate the cap the way that they have to get more stars to add to their already star-laden team? I think it's a whole different era for the Eagles next year. And that leads us to kind of an uncomfortable conversation. Jalen Hurts is the man. And I'm someone who I feel like I supported Jalen Hurts. We did a thing on this show where we ranked the four remaining quarterbacks in the playoffs, for, you know, in terms of in the NFC, and who were the best NFC quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. This was around the divisional round. I was the only person on the show who didn't rank Jalen Hurts fourth. Everyone else had him dead last. And Jalen Hurts, we saw him play excellent in the Super Bowl a couple years ago in a loss. We saw him play excellent last Sunday in a win. But when I look at the pedigree of multi-Super Bowl championship quarterbacks, with the exception of Eli Manning, who we saw during most regular seasons was an average to an above-average quarterback who then raised his level of play in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, does Jalen Hurts profile as a multi-time Super Bowl champion in terms of just a pure talent? Let's talk about it. Jalen Hurts, great runner, underrated passer in my opinion, but too often in his career and too often in the last few seasons, we've seen not just games in which the Eagles' passing game just completely disappears. We've seen stretches of seasons where the Eagles' passing game is completely out of sync. And we're once again, after a Super Bowl appearance, about to see Jalen Hurts go through another offensive coordinator change.
Let's be honest for a second. He won Super Bowl MVP, but come on now. That should have went to a defensive player on Philadelphia. Sweat specifically.
I didn't even have a problem with him winning MVP because I thought his numbers were great and I thought he was solid, but you absolutely could have given it to a defensive player. This was not some of these other performances in Super Bowl where you have a quarterback who throws for 500 yards like Tom Brady did in one game. Like, you know, there are some performances that are just so out of this world. It was very clear that an offensive player should have won. Jalen Hurts did not put up those kind of numbers.
I don't think he was the determining factor in winning that Super Bowl. There were a lot of factors involved in that dominating Eagles performance. Yes, he was a part of it, but let's call it what it is. There was a pick six.
Yep.
There were a lot of sacks. There were a lot of three and outs produced by that Eagles defense. Yep. I think Jalen Hurts, well, you know, he was along for the ride. I saw a meme that said that when the guy gets an A on a project and he didn't do the lion's share of the work. And that's how I look at that Super Bowl MVP. To your point, I think he still has a lot to prove as a quarterback in this league, even with a ring.
And when you look at that, you think about the quarterbacks that have won multiple Super Bowls. Again, you're talking about Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Tom Brady. Peyton Manning, though, the last one, he really didn't do much. He did kind of he was worse than Jalen Hurts in terms of the get an A on the project and do nothing. But you think about the names I'm mentioning. These are some of the greatest talents to ever play at the quarterback position. Just look at the history of the game. Does a quarterback like Jalen Hurts with his current track record, is that a guy who typically wins multiple Super Bowls? Just the story of the game. And my favorite quote I always talk about, I know people get tired sometimes of talking about the quarterbacks over and over again. Well, to quote my favorite show and quote one of my favorite TV characters of all time, Malik Wright from the game. Everybody knows the quarterback. So let's talk about the quarterback here. Does Jalen Hurts profile like Joe Montana? Does he profile like Tom Brady? Does he profile like these great quarterbacks? I'll go back to Bart Starr. Does he profile as those guys, MVP caliber players, multi-time champions? Does he look like the kind of quarterback that wins multiple Super Bowls?
I'll say no, but I guess we have to beg the question, as we are in this particular era of quarterbacks, does he have to look like those guys?
I'd argue he has to, because I think that while we saw Saquon Barkley this season, and this brings me to my other point about why I'm not sure about the Eagles winning another Super Bowl next year, while we saw Saquon Barkley and the era of the running back have a resurgence this year, and there's no question, I think that the NFL as a whole is going to have a different dynamic in terms of how they view roster building moving forward. The odds that you're either going to A, get another season like that from Saquon at his advanced age and injury history, or B, find another player as dynamic as Saquon Barkley, given where they will be in the draft, given where their salary cap situation will be. What happened with Saquon Barkley in many ways was lightning striking in a bottle. It was an absolute unicorn. What are the odds that a player who, because of injuries, actually hasn't taken all that much punishment despite all of the amount of years he's played in the NFL, and that a team that drafted him very highly would look at their situation and decide that it didn't make sense for them to keep him, and a player who would be willing to go to a division rival in order to compete for a championship. The odds of all that happening, it was the perfect storm for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it speaks to just how much luck went into their situation and how things worked out for them. Is Saquon Barkley going to run for 2,000 yards again? I'm telling you, I don't think that's happening. I do not think he's going to stay healthy for another 18 weeks. And I think that while I think he will still be really good next year, he had one of the greatest running back seasons of all time. I can't ask him to duplicate that again. So when we ask if Jalen Hurts is going to be able to, is he going to have to be the kind of player like those guys I just mentioned? I'd argue yes, because I think he got off a little easy this year. The fact that he had Saquon Barkley be able to carry him was important. I think you look at the other guys that were playing in Championship Sunday, Jalen Hurts, did he have it easy for him? No, he had to carry his team to that point. Patrick Mahomes, we know what he does for his team. We know what Josh Allen does for his team. The teams that made it to that precipice, that got to right to that point, none of those guys were carried at any point of the season. None of those guys were carried at any point in terms of the journeys that those teams went on.
Jalen Hurts was carried this season?
There were moments in the season where he did not have to throw for more than 150, 200 yards.
You're speaking a lot of truths right now. You know,
like Jalen Hurts.
Perloff is rolling over in his matches right now. He doesn't like what he's hearing.
I'm sure Perloff is in Costa Rica right now. He's probably getting ready to call on the show and say, cut EJ's mic off. He's doing too much Eagles anti-propaganda. But I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Do the Eagles profile as a team that can go back-to-back? I get some elements of why you would like that. You got to love the age of their defense. You got to love the star power they have on offense. You got to love their offensive line. But I think when you look at the parity that I think exists in the NFL, and I think you look at who Jalen Hurts is, and that this sounds like I'm crushing Jalen Hurts. I think he's a star, and I think that he's a very underrated player. But if I'm asking, is he back-to-back type guy? Is he that kind of star? Is he going to put together those kind of postseasons back-to-back? I don't think so. I want to hear from you, 855-212-4227. So much coming up here on the Maggie and Perloff show. We talked a lot about NBA All-Star Weekend, but we didn't get to that dunk contest. That was an interesting experience.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't blame Mac McClung for All-Star Weekend. What's up? This is EJ Stewart on Maggie and Perloff, filling in for the great Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff. Number to call in, 855-212-4227. You can also hit me up on social media, EJ_Stewart on Twitter/X, or hit up Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. If you want to watch the show, you can also watch on YouTube.com/Infinity Sports Network or on Twitch as well. We talked just about the Eagles in terms of their situation, and I'm not sure if we're looking at the Eagles back-to-back. I know Jalen Hurts said, quote, next pursuit begins or whatever he said. Slow down. Slow your roll. Hype down, buddy. I think the Eagles are a great team. I think that they're a team that will be one of the Super Bowl contenders, but I think they're going to have a lot of competition next year. Lions, Commanders, Packers, and that's just the NFC. In AFC, I think you got a lot of guys who have not cracked through yet, who will be very hungry to finally get to that stage. So I'm not writing them off. I want to hear from you, though. Do you think the Eagles are primed for a back-to-back Super Bowl championship? 855-212-4227. All-Star Weekend happened over the course of this past weekend. We had an All-Star game last night that in many ways was a sideshow. All-Star Saturday night also was rough. But in many ways, it was one of those you had me in the first half, not gonna lie, type events, because we had a skills competition where there was cheating involved. Yeah, shame on the San Antonio Spurs team, Chris Paul, Victor Wembanyama. They decided to try to game the system in what Perloff said was the worst event created in the history of sports, which is the NBA All-Star Skills Competition. I didn't really hate it nearly as much as he's claimed to hate it. But then when I saw Victor Wembanyama and Chris Paul purposely missing shots and throwing the ball off the backboard and throwing the ball out of bounds when they were supposed to shoot baskets during the skills competition, I was like, you know what? Perloff may have a point that this may be the worst event ever created. So this was not good. And then you get later in the night into the slam dunk contest. And I think I saw two of the worst slam dunk contest competitors in the history of the sport in Matas Buzelis and Andre Jackson Jr. from the Bulls and the Bucks, respectively. I mean, these guys were awful. And you see these guys perform and you're like, oh no, we are about to cap off the worst All-Star Saturday night in the history of the league, by far. We were cooked. And then out came a 6'1" white G League point guard who, for many people, is what's wrong with NBA All-Star Weekend. And he actually stole the show. I think if you're sitting here today and you're blaming Mac McClung for anything that went on All-Star Weekend or his representation in All-Star Weekend being a problem, you're missing the entire situation. That dude was phenomenal. And we've seen Mac McClung dunk. Now, for those who are not familiar with Mac McClung was a high school internet sensation because he was a short dude who could dunk. He played Division I basketball at Georgetown and Texas Tech. He was a decent college basketball player, but not really a true NBA prospect. He has been in the NBA's G League for the last several years, but because he has this internet fame from his high school days, and because he has this novelty of being this 6'1 guy who can jump out the gym, he's been invited to multiple slam dunk contests. In fact, he was coming into Saturday night a back-to-back slam dunk champion, which many people looked at and said, oh my gosh, this is how bad the NBA has gotten, that a G League guy is competing in the slam dunk contest for a third year in a row, and he might actually win it 3 years in a row. And the first 2 years, I'll admit, were not necessarily all that thrilling, though I think he was perfectly fine in terms of his performance in the dunk contest. Seeing him a third year in a row made a lot of folks, including myself, say, okay, this may have gone a little too far. The NBA may have jumped their skis a little bit. They may have jumped the shark when it comes to how much we got to see Mac McClung. Then the guy brought out a car. And he jumped over a car, and not like Blake Griffin where you jump over the hood. I mean, he jumped over a guy in a car who was holding a ball over his head and then reverse dunked it behind his head. And you think, okay, can it get better than this? And somehow it did. He ended up jumping over Evan Mobley, who was about 6'11", who was standing on a platform. He jumped over a guy who was on a hoverboard, similarly to what Aaron Gordon did, his famous dunk in the Toronto All-Star weekend. Mac McClung was phenomenal. And it does, when we look at kind of All-Star weekend and things that are right and things that are wrong, I don't think we can look at it and say it's necessarily that we want to see stars only in the slam dunk contests and skills competitions, because while there wasn't a lot of hype for Mac McClung being in it, once you watched it, you were lying if you told yourself that that was boring or that was bad TV. He was awesome. And shout out to Stephon Castle for the San Antonio Spurs, who was a game competitor. You end up getting two guys who were going dunk for dunk, and it was pretty exciting, even though neither of these guys are household names. Stephon Castle, which he was, he's a really good young player, and he's a guy who's a national champion in college basketball with UConn. But a lot of people were first introduced to Stephon Castle in that slam dunk contest. He did a great job, too. And there was so much hype for it that he even got the corny NBA stars of today going on social media talking like that they want some smoke with Mac McClung. You had Ja Morant going on social media saying, maybe I'll join the dunk contest now that Mac McClung is in it. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo saying, well, if you're in the dunk contest, maybe I'll join the dunk contest with you and Mac McClung. Which just goes back to my point that this is the corniest era of NBA stars. Because while this is likely a troll from Ja Morant, and likely a troll from Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Zach LaVine as well, who also said, hey, maybe I will come back for the slam dunk contest. It's likely a troll. Do not get your hopes up.
But LeBron do the same thing like 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. 2010, he's like, I'm going to enter myself in dunk contest. Never showed up. We've still been waiting for him. But not only is this an example of why this is the corniest era of stars in the NBA. Here's why. You have some of the biggest names in the sport, Ja Morant and Giannis Antetokounmpo, even putting into the world that they're taking their cues now from Mac McClung. That is now a part of that the internet is forever. You can't scrub anything. You can't delete anything. We now have evidence of Giannis Antetokounmpo, a multiple-time MVP, an NBA champion, taking his cues from Ja Morant, an NBA star, a guy who was once seen as one of the faces of the NBA, then he got some off-the-court trouble, but still one of the biggest names in the NBA, who he is taking his cues from Mac McClung, a G League guy, for the Oskalaka Wizards or whatever the hell their Magic's G League team is. That is where we're at in the NBA. Ja Morant and Giannis Antetokounmpo taking cues from Mac McClung. It's pathetic. It's pathetic, and I'm so sick of these NBA stars. They're so whack. They're so corny. They are losers. And unfortunately, this is what we're subjected to. But shout out to Mac McClung for going out there and putting on a great show. He was fantastic on NBA All-Star Saturday night. Manny Rodriguez joins me for updates. Manny, did you like the dunk contest?
Poor Osceola, Florida, just catching strays like that.
I'm sorry, but come on now. I mean, the fact that he's even wearing an Orlando Magic jersey, I'm like, he does not wear this jersey. This isn't his team. Just let him wear the G League jersey at this point. Like, who cares? We know what time it is.
I was, once again, not exactly captivated by the All-Star dunk contest. I mean, it was all right. Mac McClung really did save the night, but I mean... Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. I saw that Ja Morant tweet, and it's just smoke, man. They're not going to participate in any of this. They have no interest in the contest.
Again, nothing matters. So they throw this in our face. They think it's funny. They think it's a nice troll, and then we'll ask Ja Morant on Tuesday or Wednesday whenever the guys come back. Hey, you really gonna do a dunk contest? He's like, no.
What? They'll probably tease us until, you know, next January when it's time to roll out the announcements for the dunk contest. And we've got Mac McClung going out there against Jacob Toppin, Obi Toppin, and whatever other Toppin brothers coming into the NBA.
Yeah, JT Toppin, even though he's not even a Toppin brother. We'll bring him from college and let him compete in the dunk contest at this point.
Well, EJ, the NBA All-Star game was last night in San Francisco. And at home, Stephen Curry's 12 points gets him the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP award as Shaq's OGs beat Chuck's Global Stars 41-25. Take this with a grain of salt because I'm finding it from a Reddit post off of X. It seems as though there was 42 minutes of actual basketball played during last night's All-Star game. The first game, Kenny against Chuck, 12 minutes. Shaq against the Rising Stars, 16 minutes. And then the finale of Chuck versus Shaq, 14 minutes long.
The amount of time of Kevin Hart porn star jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Too much. I don't know what the number was, but it was way too much compared to the amount of basketball that was being played.
My favorite part was when TNT would cut off his mic, but you could still kind of hear the echo going through the arena crowd at Chase Center. So you were still able to catch on some of the jokes that were not okay for TV out of Kevin Hart. But yeah, that was something. Well, another issue that I had with the All-Star game, EJ, was when the aforementioned LeBron James took the podium to talk to the press about 90 minutes before tip. Yeah, that's James himself breaking the news way too late to find a replacement. He sits out of the All-Star game, out of the tournament. That ends his incredible streak of 20 consecutive All-Star game starts.
I mean, even the way he said that, like, you won't be seeing anything from me tonight. Like, how dare you think I'm going to put myself on the court with Dalton Connect and Jalen Wells and Keontae George.
Dalton Connect, who I tried to trade away weeks ago.
I tried to get rid of that guy. I got to see him again when I'm supposed to be on my day off. No, how dare you think I'm going to sit on the court? I mean, again, I said it before, like LeBron sets the tone for all this. And a lot of issues with the NBA, you want to talk about player empowerment in terms of what that meant in terms of guys leaving teams and demanding trade. You want to talk about, I don't think you give load management his thing. He's not really a load management guy, but you want to talk about just the lack of competitiveness, the two guys being too buddy-buddy, and now just lack of attention, lack of care for NBA All-Star Weekend. It started with LeBron James, who thought he was too cool for the dunk contest. And it's a shame, because as great as LeBron James is, the amount of guys who have put themselves on certain platforms in order to give LeBron the platform, these athletes currently the platform, to enjoy all this money, to enjoy all this wealth, to enjoy all these accolades, and for them to just look at it and just spit in those guys' faces, it's a disgrace.
And that wasn't the only injury news that we got yesterday during the first game, EJ. We don't see Anthony Edwards get any playing time, only to find out after the game that he had a groin issue preventing him from participating. On Saturday night, Tyler Hero, he edged out Buddy Hield to win the three-point contest. And like you mentioned during this segment, Mac McClung became the first player to win the dunk contest in three straight years. In his early attempts, he jumped over a car and not just the roof like Blake Griffin did all those years ago. Mac, how do you find out you can do this?
Shout out to Isaiah Rivera. He let me borrow his car. You know, that's a brave thing to do. And the first probably 45 minutes, I was like, I can't do this dunk. I'm landing on the car. I can't do it. And then Chuck, the guy I work with for dunks, he helped me. He just was like, just jump over the car. I'm like, it's not that easy, man. Like, you know, and they taught me the technique, how to do it. And we got it like three or four times in a row. And I felt confident doing it. So shout out to them.
McClung also said he might be done with the dunk contest now, but will give it a long thought if the NBA asked him to participate again.
Yeah, I like what he said. Like, if the NBA wants me bad enough, I was like, oh, he means he wants more bread. Because this is, I saw that he makes way more money on these dunk contests than he has made in his entire career as a young player. Like, he gets like $300,000 for being a dunk contest competitor, compared to the $140,000 he's made as a G League guy, which is just remarkable. So I feel like he'll be back because of that.
To the paid amateurs now, number 9, St. John's outlast number 24, Creighton, 79-73. R.J. Lewis Jr. had a double-double for the Johnnies. Wichita State upsets number 14, Memphis in OT, 84-79. Number 20, Michigan, they hold on against Ohio State, 86-83. And Terrapin starters combined for 95 points as number 25, Maryland, waltzes to a 105-75 win over Iowa. And finally, EJ, William Byron avoids mayhem late to win his second straight Daytona 500. EJ, back to you.
Thanks so much, Manny. Coming up, we'll talk about those options for Russell Wilson. Plus, a quarterback pleads for his team to keep him. We'll tell you who that is in a minute. It's EJ Stewart. You're listening to Maggie and Perloff. We'll be right back. It's Maggie and Perloff show here on Infinity Sports Network. EJ Stewart here, executive producer, filling in for Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff. And we're going to have some QB carousel movement happen in a bunch this offseason. There's perhaps the most enticing name that I heard this weekend, maybe up for grabs. And we'll talk about Matthew Stafford later on in the show. But one of the things I saw that I think was interesting was the future of Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson is at the point of his career where he's a diminished player. He's definitely headed towards the end, but it doesn't appear like he's anywhere near close to retirement. But as he comes up on free agency, with the Steelers having only signed him to a one-year deal last season, he was coming off being cut by the Denver Broncos. Questions surround whether or not the Steelers will commit to Russell Wilson next year. Now, we've heard from Steelers management that they prefer to keep either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson as their quarterback moving forward. But there is a scenario where Wilson is not the choice and they go with Fields or someone else, and then Russell has to find a new home, which then begs the question, what do you then do with Russell Wilson? According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, there are two likely scenarios for where Russell Wilson lands next season. Number one being the Las Vegas Raiders, and number two being the New York Giants. So the Raiders connection is quite obvious. You got his former coach, Pete Carroll, a guy who we kind of seem to be on the outs with towards the end. There may have been reports of him trying to get Pete Carroll fired, but you know, when two guys are desperate, you'll do anything to kind of survive in this league, right? So Pete Carroll, desperate to get back in. He needs a quarterback. Russell Wilson may be desperate for a team, so he'll need a new home. So that's a connection there for the Raiders. The Giants, he visited the Giants last year. The Giants were seen as perhaps a backup option for him if he did not sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that opportunity didn't become available. But when I look at both of those opportunities, I think to myself, Russell Wilson better be careful. because he's a guy that, in my opinion, should be, I don't know if I consider him a walk-in Hall of Famer, but, I mean, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's one of the star players, star quarterbacks of his generation. He won a Super Bowl. He's been to two. I know he did have a big blunder in one of them that cost him being a two-time Super Bowl champion. But Russell Wilson was a great player and was a star. But the further you get away from Russell Wilson's prime and the more ridiculous and the more, like, just, like, sad the end of his career appears to look, the harder it may be to continue to make that case that you are indeed a walk-in Hall of Famer when that time rolls around. I mean, Eli Manning played his entire career for the Giants, won two Super Bowls, and I think for the large part of his career, while there were those who were loud that said that they didn't think he was a Hall of Famer, I think there were a lot of people who expected, because of what he did against Tom Brady in those Super Bowls, that he wouldn't be a Hall of Famer and there really wouldn't be much conversation about it. But as we see, the more time goes on, the more people kind of forget and the short attention spans start to take over and people don't have the same, quite the same maybe appeal or the same goals of trying to push agendas for you for what you did in your prime, especially if you're not Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, guys of that caliber. If you're on a second tier or below those guys, and we go through years and years and years of you towing away on bad teams, your Hall of Fame credentials start to look a little different in the light. And with Russell Wilson, if he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders or he goes to the New York Giants, it will be watching John Unitas playing for the San Diego Chargers. It will be like watching some of these Hall of Fame quarterbacks or star quarterbacks that we see at the end of their careers playing on teams where you're like, man, if that guy would have just retired instead of continuing his career, we'd have a better way to remember him as opposed to him tolling away on some of the worst teams in the NFL for the sake of just remaining in the NFL and collecting a check. Because to me, if that's what Russell Wilson is seriously considering, the Giants or the Raiders, I think he should consider retirement. Because at no point in time, if those are your options, are you in any way part of the picture of making the playoffs, of competing for championships? It is beneath Russell Wilson, given the player he's been in his career, to play for the Raiders or the Giants. This is Joe Namath going to play for the Los Angeles Rams. This is John Unitas playing for the Chargers. This is, you know, Philip Rivers playing for the Colts. It gets to a point where it just becomes that. Jay Cutler playing for the Dolphins. Where it's just like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you've had a great career. You have a beautiful family. Your legacy is intact. How badly do you want to play in the NFL, and how much damage are you willing to do for the sake of remaining in the NFL? Russell Wilson is not terrible. Is he able to, you know, be a respectable quarterback in the league? Sure. But he is 36 years old. He's going to be 37 by the time we get to midseason next year. And if I look at the totality of his career and what he's accomplished, I don't know what more left there is for him to do. The guy's made a ton of Pro Bowls. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He's a Super Bowl champion. What are you doing messing around with the Las Vegas Raiders? What are you doing messing around with the New York Giants? And I'll be honest, if I was those teams, why the hell would you want to deal with Russell Wilson? I mean, is that really an answer? Especially if he was the New York Giants. I mean, come on. Giants may be in a position where he's a bridge quarterback and maybe you have him while Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders sits for a little bit. And if that's the case, I can maybe see that as a scenario. But if we're talking about you don't get one of those quarterbacks, you think your answer is Russell Wilson for a year? I mean, fold the franchise. What are we doing next year? It's a waste of time. Giants season becomes a waste of time next year. Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback. Las Vegas Raiders, no weapons, no talent, no hope. Russell Wilson, 10-time Pro Bowler at the end of his career, is really going to end his career with the Ravens? At this point, do what everyone else does. Call a ceremony with the Seattle Seahawks and just retire with them.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.